We're doing something a little different today. I have in studio with me three readers, and they're the readers of what I think is a fantastic book that has come out in the last few weeks. It is The Starless Sea by Erin Morgenstern, and we know her to be the author of The Night Circus, right? And this was such a popular book, The Night Circus, that people were waiting, her readers were waiting with bated breath to see when the next installation would come out, and she's come up with something entirely different this time. But once again, you find yourself immersed in quite a different world to the one that is familiar to us, I should say. So Kingsmead School has done something really interesting. If you pass one of their walls at the school, you will see a symbol, something out of the book, right? That looks quite mysterious. And I'm looking at it right now on Penguin Random House South Africa's Facebook page, because that's where they've posted it. And essentially, they're the publishers. And it is a door that appears to open into this wall. And there is on the top of this door a bee. There is a sword, and there is also a door handle, and that presumably is an invitation for you as a reader to step into this world that Erin Morgenstern has created. So I'm first of all going to ask the young ladies around me what they've thought of this book. Thank you so much for coming in, Rochelle, Emily and Zahra. Really lovely to have you all. What sort of impression did the book leave you with? It's such a tough one to explain in terms of plot.
To me personally, the book was something completely different to what I'd read recently. I'd read her books before, before, but I don't know. I felt so much more transported by this book. Yeah. And to me, as soon as I finished the book, I felt like I wanted to keep it to myself. I wanted to keep the secret of how amazing it was to me.
Yes, yes. Because there is that element of mystery and secrecy, which certainly is woven through the book. If you, Emily, had to explain in very simple terms what the plot was, how would you do that? Because I think that's quite a complicated thing
to do. Yeah, it's quite a complicated question.
Yeah.
So the story is about a young man called Zachary who is in love with books. And he finds himself transported into this kind of new world of reading and storytelling.
Yes.
But it's a fantastical world. So he finds himself exploring and discovering new secrets, new stories.
And it is amazing how he leaves his familiar world, his naturalistic world, and enters into the sort of subterranean world, Zahra. What does that transition feel like for you as a reader?
It almost feels like you're escaping into a book yourself, that feeling when you start a new book, like you're entering a new world and leaving your old one behind. It's a feeling a lot of people who really love reading are very familiar with, and something a lot of readers really enjoy, getting pulled into another universe, another world, and stepping out of your life and into a new one.
It's quite a mind-altering experience in some ways, isn't it, Rochelle?
Yes, I think truly a way that Zahra described it earlier when we were discussing the book a bit further was the language she uses for the two different aspects of the book, the modern world and the library, essentially.
Yes.
Captures it so perfectly, because when you're reading about the library, it almost feels as if you're transported back to all the fables and stories that you heard in your childhood, and the
yes.
types the way it's described is very similar, whereas the modern technology era is very modern language.
Yes, yes. I mean, I find that very interesting how she has tapped into our knowledge, right? The stories that have been woven into our own lives as children, no matter where in the world we are from, right? That's sort of present, and it's floating in the background as she puts these new ideas forward in the book.
Yeah, yeah. I find you can really escape into this new magical world while still having a tether to reality.
Yes.
And you can relate to it more because you feel like you're immersed, but then you're pulled back, and then you're immersed, then you're pulled back.
Yes, yes. I must ask you about what it felt like reading, because the previous book, The Night Circus, I mean, I was very conscious of reading a magical realism novel when I read that. And this is one where the realities were so shifting, you sometimes don't quite remember where you are in time or in space while you're reading this.
The imagery in her book is so beautiful. It feels like you're transported into the book. The way she describes the people and the places, it really brings you into the book so much that you forget for a moment that it's just a fictional book.
Yes, yes.
And the way she describes the world in such detail and the way she describes all the people and places makes you forget that it's not real. It makes you believe that this is all real and it's happening around you.
Tell me about this, Rishal. Did it remind you at all of any other writers? I mean, I was referencing in some of it a little bit of Ransom Riggs, right?
Oh, yes, I completely agree.
Yes.
But I think Erin Morgenstern has a completely unique, like, writing style. Mm. Ransom Riggs has a similar style, but I think his is a bit less magical to me personally.
Yes, yes, yeah.
Because I feel sometimes the images he uses in his books, like, can pluck you out of the story or add to it, but if it gets too much,
yes,
it can remove you from the story. But I think her writing just flows in such a natural way that you forget that you're in a story.
Yeah. You know, in a review that I saw, Emily, someone was writing about the writer's imagination, and I was thinking to myself, it really is astonishing what kind of mind Erin Morgenstern must have to have come up with these concepts.
Yeah, she's really just so creative and so in depth with, as Zara said, the imagery. She creates an entire world that doesn't exclude the audience. It draws the reader in and makes them feel like they can live in it as well.
You know, I was wondering if it's not too intimidating in some ways, Zara, for the average reader who perhaps doesn't feel that, like, they want to be manipulated in that way.
It's at the beginning, it can be quite hard to be drawn into it because it's a bit of an intimidating size, the book.
Yes, yes. How many pages do we have?
I think it's 500.
And at the beginning, the way it's written in alternating chapters between fables and the main storyline is a bit intimidating.
Yes.
But once you get started and get drawn in, it's hard to be pulled out because the storyline and all the little fables in between are so compelling and make you want to find out more that it's just, once you're drawn in, it's impossible to escape. It's like you want to be part of this world.
Does it give you a sense, Rishal, that really, I mean, we've got many templates for how we can write and how it's been done before, but it almost feels as though she's broken quite a number of those and she's decided, I'll put these stories together the way I want. I'll work with time and space the way I want. I'll manipulate all of those things as I want. And for me, there was a certain freedom in this writing.
I think I definitely agree with that. And what's so different is, even though the book jumps, many other books have done this, but because she jumps from time, I think, and goes between, for example, the story of Simon and Eleanor to Zachary, it just really creates a whole different feel of a book. And I think it's such a way to draw one in because it's just so completely different and attention capture.
Yes, yes. Well, Emily, I was wondering, I mean, people who are drawn to books are probably going to love this book because it tells the stories of books. It tells the stories of stories, right? It tells the stories of archiving stories, you know, in libraries and the like. Mm. And so we're drawn to that kind of thing, naturally. What about people who are not that fond of books? Do you think this is going to be an enjoyable read for them?
I feel like it might be a bit of a challenge, but it's so beautiful in the way that it's written that I feel like even if you're not yet in love with books, you can fall in love with books through this story.
Mm. What for you are some of the highlights of this book, Zahra?
I think the fables that are put in between, they remind me of just stories you hear when you're young.
Yes.
And
yes.
How those interlink with the main storyline and how those little bits of small fables that are their own stories just interlink into bigger stories. It's just quite beautiful to me how for fables, they're over once they're over, but you see the ending and the happily ever after, what's beyond that in this book. And I think that's quite beautiful.
Yes, yes. I mean, what age group would you recommend this for, Rochelle? Because I thought to myself, I mean, I have a 13-year-old who's a very advanced reader, and I wasn't sure that I was quite ready to hand it to her yet.
I think to me personally, there isn't really a restriction on who can read this. I think it should go from about like some early teens-ish, so like 14, if you love reading, I think to any age. I even recommended the book to my dad.
Yes, yes.
And he's much older than.
Yeah, yeah. I suppose there's something that happens where, depending on your life experience, whatever that is, by whatever age, there's certain things in the book that appeal to you, depending on what you've experienced.
Definitely. Emily? Yeah? I feel like you can find yourself in the book, and even though you might feel like you can't relate at all to some chapters, other chapters you will literally see a reflection of yourself.
Yes, yes. And that's what's happening to the protagonist, or at least one of the protagonists, Zachary, in this book, isn't it, Zachary? Because he's on this journey to find himself.
It's quite beautiful because he's a young adult and he's on this journey of self-discovery, and like a lot of people, he's a big reader, and now he's finding himself in the story, and it's quite beautiful how through this journey he's discovering himself and more about books that he loves and that are such a big part of his life.
Yes, yes. Well, what sort of genre do you classify this as?
Well, obviously, I would say it's magical realism, as you can tell by her writing. But I wouldn't actually know what to say to that, because I think it can fit into so many, because the story varies so widely from the fables to a main storyline. But I think I would personally just put it under fiction, because it applies to everything.
Yeah, and there she is breaking the rules again, right, Emily? Where, I mean, some people are describing it as a love story, and that probably is a good example of how people extrapolate different things from it or extract different things from it. You know, would you agree that it is, what is it, the fantastic?
Reality mixed with a love story, mixed with magic.
Yes. Yeah. And Zahra, this is Erin's second book. How would you compare it with The Night Circus?
Well, I think The Night Circus was much more contained. So it was about a traveling circus and these two couples, and it had other side characters. But this book, The Starless Sea, is about a much larger range of characters in a much larger place, because The Starless Sea, this main setting and the library in this book, is really all around the world and in many different places. It's sort of a universe within our planet. So I think it just feels wider and like it could be any place, anywhere, any time, whereas The Night Circus is contained to one timeline, one place, and a very few set of people.
Yeah, yeah. I'd like to ask you about your thoughts on this, simply because we're living in a world where everything can be said in, what is it, 140 or 160 characters, something like this. People really believe that you can encapsulate something really complex in something that short. And sometimes that is possible. But we're living in a world of instant gratification where most people now will not want to sit down with a book of this length and grapple with the issues that you've just discussed. What does this kind of writing mean for us right now in the world?
I think it's really important to just take that time and reflect on what's happening, especially in South Africa right now, because there's so much change coming about. And I think this book is actually like a representation of you having to take a moment, slow down, and focus on the things that's happening around you. Mm-hmm. For example, I'm currently reading the book again because I felt I wanted to process it again because it was so impactful to me.
Yes, yes. And I agree. It does need a digestion and a redigestion, if you like. What are your thoughts on this, Emily?
So I feel, yes, you can explain things in a smaller amount of words, but you cut out a certain amount of the imagery and the storyline. And this book really goes so deep into these things. And I mean, there's one part of the book where it describes a library as a vast sea, and there's all these amazing words that it uses, and it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And it really, you can't just skip it. You've got to read it carefully and take what it's telling you and think about it carefully.
Yeah, that's true. There, sometimes you do have that. There are sections in the book where you just want to let those words wash over you. Zahra, your final thoughts on this?
Well, I think in those few words, you can tell a strong message, but in a book like this, with the imagery and the way she describes the characters and the places and the settings, you can't encapsulate that in those few sentences. You need an entire book to really describe this magical world that sucks you in completely.
I think we all do with this level of escapism, but not the kind of escapism that simply allows you to escape from your thoughts, something that allows you to escape into them, perhaps. Thank you so much for coming in. What a pleasure having you, Rochelle, Emily, and Zahra. They are all Kingsmead students. What grade are you in?
Well, we're grade 11, going into matric next year.
All right, fantastic. I wish you all the best for the next year, by the way, ladies. Thank you so much for coming into studio. It's been such a pleasure having you. We've been having a conversation about The Starless Sea. It is by author Erin Morgenstern, and it is published by Penguin Random House.